Okay, thank you. My talk is going to be slightly different from the previous ones. But before I start, let me acknowledge my co-authors, Chelsea Arnold, who did most of the work, and who's sitting at the back, Asper. And since you're in California, I would like to show you by showing you this map, which reflects the current state of the drought in California. We are in exceptional drought. 60% of the state is in exceptional drought. And this is not surprising. Most climate models agree that the snowpack in the Sierras in California are going to shrink drastically by the end of the century. By 2050, we expect 25% less snow. And on top of that, we expect a great deal of variability, including the kinds of drought that we are getting. There is evidence coming up recently showing that the droughts that we are going through are actually caused by climate change, man-made climate change, that is. So, given all these, we asked a question, a simple question: how is this going to affect some of the very wet meadows up in the Sierra Nevada mountains here in California? So we were particularly looking at meadows on the eastern edge of the Yosemite National Park, one of the meadows that we studied. And we asked a simple question: is the soil structure going to be affected by extreme drought events? And if so, by how much? And what does that mean to the hydrology, ecology, and everything else that happens in these meadows? We were particularly interested in these meadows because they play a very important role in rerouting snow melt, whether it goes as infiltration or flows over land, depends on the permeability of these meadows. And we were interested in how droughts will impact the soil structure and eventually the hydrologic function of these meadows. So I'll give you the conclusion of our research, which is nicely illustrated in this diagram. So if you assume these grapes represent a pristine, wet, fluffy meadow, and that meadow dries, we think it's going to shrink. And once it shrinks, it is going to be very difficult to fluff it up to what it used to be. Right? So you have to work so hard, like these cartoons are doing, in order to fluff it up. Actually, our conclusion is it's probably impossible to regain the original structure. So all what I'm going to show you from now on is going to be how we measure this and what we find. Okay. We were lucky that the study site that we were working on has very nice constraints. There is a layer of ash from recent volcanic activity that happened about 1,200 years ago at depths between 15 and 20 centimeters. So everything that we see above that is accumulated in the last 800 years or so. And then there was also a big drought, a mega drought that lasted for quite some time. So we have this nice accumulation of very soft, high organic matter soil. Here are some numbers: organic matter content, rock density of the soils. They are very low in density, high in organic matter, which also implies that they are very permeable. Okay? And the reason why we think they are going to shrink is because when you dry soil, you create capillary forces that pull those soil particles together. And this is the principle that we normally use when you build a sand castle. You add a little bit of water to hold the sand particles together because capillary forces hold or pull the soil particles together. But unlike sand, if you have very soft material making up your soil, then those soft materials will not hold on to their shape. They will compress and lose volume. And that's what we're after. So these kinds of deformation happens in soil, not by drying, but by other forces. For example, when you're building a house, a soil can get compressed if the weight that you apply exceeds the historical maximum stress that the soil has experienced before. So you have here this really nice example of this tower leaning because the weight of the tower is much heavier than whatever weight that soil has felt before. And engineers like to determine that historical maximum stress when they build houses so that these kinds of things don't happen. And the way they do that is they subject soil into increasing levels of stress. They plot their stress versus strain in a plot like this. And when you plot it like this in a semi-log scale, you see this transition. You see a change in the slope, which reflects a change from reversible to irreversible deformation. And we wanted to adapt these to our system where load, in our case, comes from capillarity, comes from dryness. So we designed our study to answer three simple questions. One is, can we detect the limit, the historic limit of dryness that these soils have experienced, just like what geotechnical engineers can do using these experiments? And if we can we also predict what kind of deformation to expect once you exceed that level of dryness? And eventually, what does that mean to the hydrologic cycling or hydrologic cycle in these systems? So we made the contraption that allows us to do this. I'm not going to go into the detail of how this works, but what essentially it does is you take an intact soil sample and you drain it by applying different degrees of suction. And as you drain it, this instrument allows us to measure the change in volume, not only the amount of water that drains out, but also the volume of the sample as it shrinks. We can also do experiments where we do drying and wetting experiments. So with that, I will go to some of our results. These are two samples that were collected in 2011 and 2012. Between these two sample collection times, there was relatively strong drought event that happened. And what you find, that's not me, is that me?
It's right here. Oh. It's loose. Okay. It's just got duct tape on it. Oh. It does. It's actually a piece of duct tape has got this thing stuck on the computer. High tech. Okay, sorry.
My kind of. So what we have here is on the x-axis, the water potential, the degree of suction or the dryness, if you will. So on this edge, you have very wet condition, and then as you go to the right, the soil dries. We have plotted this on a log scale, just like the geotechnical curves. And on the y-axis, we have the relative volume of the samples. So we start with fresh, intact sample, and we drain it sequentially at these different suction levels. And you see that there is this clear transition that happens at these two different water potential values. And we conclude, based on what we predicted or what we expected, that these water potentials reflect the historic maximum dryness of these meadow soils. And you can see that the 2012 sample has much higher historical dryness level than the 2011 sample, and the soil indeed in the field has experienced drought, so we are probably detecting that level of drought that we saw in the field. At least that's what this data suggests. But this level of dryness is not that high. In agricultural soils, 0.3 bar is what you consider field capacity. So this is much, much wetter condition than your typical field capacity. So these are very wet soils, and going from this 0.03 bar 0.1 bar, which is very mild dryness in typical agricultural soils, can create huge change in soil structure. We also did experiments where we reversed this wetting and drying and wetting process. So we started with wet soil, we drained it, and we re-wetted, and we drained it, and re-wetted it, and we tried to see if we can regain some of the lost porosity. And what you see is you don't gain that volume back. You start with zero, that's the initial change. This is the change in volume. We drain it, we lose about, here in this case, minus 4 centimeter cube for a sample that's about 80 centimeter cube. You resaturate it, you don't get back your original volume, and then we drain it, and then again the same thing. This whole experiment lasted about close to 1,000 hours. So you see again, as you increase the level of dryness, the degree of irreversible volume loss gets bigger and bigger. And we also measured the permeability, the initial permeability after we re-wetted it, after the first dryness, and then the permeability after we drained it the second time. And what you see here is a summary of the change that we observe. This is suction, the degree of water potential the soil was subjected to. This is percent loss in volume, and this is percent loss in permeability. So the change in the sample volume is not that big. The maximum that we got was 7% compared to the original volume. But when you look at the permeability, you see that we lost up to 73% of the original permeability when we drained this sample to that level. We rearrange this data, the same data, and plot it in this way, where we have the water potential and the normalized saturated hydraulic conductivity of these samples normalized to the 2011 permeability. So you have these curves, taking the mean. Am I stepping on it? I think I'm stepping on it. So the 2011 sample is blue, 2012 sample is in red, and you see, and I told you that 2012 sample experienced drought in the field, and you see that that history left a signature in the permeability, right? So this is the field permeability measured on the original sample, which is lower than permeability of the 2011 sample, right? And interestingly, that also that permeability level also matches with what we would predict with our measurements. This one is what we predicted based on lab drying experiment. So, I'll summarize quickly what we just saw. One is that drying past threshold results in deformation, permanent irreversible deformation. The deformation occurs very rapidly. In this case, it took only 1,000 hours. So you don't need a permanent change in the hydrologic regime. You just need one drought, 1 year of drought to cause these kinds of deformations, and then it lasts. And that leads to irreversible loss of porosity and significant reduction in permeability. So here's a picture of one of our samples after it was shrunk, and you see all from the outside at least, you see the loss of volume. And I want to go back from that and look at what all this means to the bigger picture. Where it started, and what it means is what this could mean is that extreme drought events, even if they happen infrequently, may potentially lead to irreversible signature that will affect the hydrology for much longer time, even after the drought has come and gone. Okay. And with that, I will stop here.
Time for one question if we have one.
Essentially a pressure plate. Yes, we're not applying any